Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Howdy friends, Wes Ward here, Wild West Ministries. I remember whenever I was a little bitty boy, my dad being a rodeo stock contractor for 60 plus years. I was just a little bitty guy and rodeo would be coming up and he'd be out there sorting the bucking horses that we was going to take to the rodeo. And I was just big enough to get in the way good. And I'd get out there and be trying to help him and he'd get so frustrated with me because I just wasn't quite big enough to do anything but get in the way. And I did get in the way. And he'd get angry with me and tell me to go to the house, and I'd sneak back to the house, and then next thing you know, I sneak back down there trying to help him because I wanted to please my daddy. What about pleasing our Heavenly Father? You know, I just followed my dad's footsteps as a little boy. I wanted to be just like my daddy. What about our Heavenly Father? Are we following Jesus? You know, Jesus spoke these words many times throughout his walk here on earth. He said, "Follow me." So if we want to title this message, let's call it "Follow Me." We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. And hopefully that somebody gets some good out of this and it'll bring glory to our Heavenly Father. First scripture I want to look at today is in the Gospel of Luke. It's going to be Luke 9, verse 23. I call this a 3D verse. Jesus talking there, he said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So we got desires. You got to have that desire first. And then you got to deny yourself. And you got to do it daily. That's the reason I call it the 3D verse. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The next scripture I want to look at is here in the Gospel of John. And I'll be looking at John 12, verse 26. John 12, verse 26. Jesus is talking here once again. He says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." So we got to follow Jesus. He's our example. Follow Jesus. I like what Jesus does here in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 4, verse 22 is where he calls these four fishermen and who went on to be his disciples. Followers of Jesus. They laid everything down and followed him. Matthew 4, 8. Let's look at verses 18 through verse 22. This is powerful stuff here. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So these guys were fishing, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Follow me," and they just drop everything. And they take off to follow Jesus. Now in the Gospel of Luke 5, verse 27, and Matthew 9:9, we see Jesus doing the very same thing to Matthew the tax collector. He's got his table set up, and he's collecting taxes from all the people. Jesus walks by and he says, "Follow me." And immediately he just gets up and follows Jesus. Jesus had many, 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 many followers. For example, Jesus feeds 5,000. Did you hear me? He fed 5,000. Then he feeds another 4,000. That was a pretty darn group of followers right there. Everywhere he went, he had followers. You know, they seen him do all these mighty signs and wonders and miracles, these mighty healings and everything. But they were basically following Jesus for what he could do. That's right. For what he could do. He didn't have that many followers compared to the numbers that followed him that really wanted to know him. They were basically seeking him for his hands and not his face. Let's compare that to today. Many, 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 many believers have met Jesus, followed him for a period for salvation. But not as many follow him to really know him. So that's what we're going to look at today, being a follower of Jesus. I want to show you an example of not that everyone followed Jesus. A lot of them wanted to, but they didn't. Let's look here in the Gospel of Matthew. Oh, I want to teach here a little bit. This is a good story. There's a lot of material here. It's about a young man. Matthew 19. A young man he was called a rich young ruler. He was young and he was rich. So most likely, now I'm only speculating here, that he probably was born into a wealthy family. Most likely inherited his wealth. I'm going to be looking at Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Let's look here. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" See, first of all, he didn't really see Jesus for who he was, the Savior of the world. He only saw him as a good teacher. And he's thinking right here, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He's thinking that he can work his way because he's probably a pretty good guy. As we go on here, you'll see. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. For if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." See, Jesus is telling this young man, ain't no one good. Romans 3:23 says, we have all fell short of the glory of God. Every one of us, including me, many times. Jesus said, you know the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus goes on to say, well, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It looks like he gives us six commandments here. Then the young man comes back and said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus comes back and he says to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Whoa. So Jesus telling this rich young ruler to go sell everything and come follow him. Come follow him. He basically gave this young man an opportunity to become a disciple of his. A disciple is a pupil of Jesus, a follower, Christ-like. That's the definition of a disciple, a pupil, a follower of Jesus, Christ-like. But listen to what it tells us in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, his wealth was his God, in a sense. He was used to doing whatever he wanted to by his rules and not basically playing by God's. Every one of Jesus' followers end up being wealthier than they once was. But it was a heart issue with this young man. He just couldn't do it. Everything that's in the New Testament, the New Covenant, everything deals with the heart. Everything in the Old, you had to do things by works and sacrifices and bringing offerings and all this. But now everything has changed to a heart condition. This young man could not follow Jesus. For it says, but when the young man had heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He couldn't give it up and to be a follower of Jesus. Let's look at another scripture over here in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. It's kind of a sad deal here about these disciples. Well, I'm not talking about the 12. I'm talking about other disciples that followed him. John 6 is where I'm going. John 6. Jesus is telling these people. He's speaking to them in spiritual terms. But they're still trying to figure that what he's saying out in worldly terms. They just ain't grasping it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 51, it says, Jesus, he's talking again, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. See, these people here, their eyes hadn't been opened up to this revelation yet. They really thought he was talking about cannibalism. But as you go over in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Means that they quit following him. They just plumb quit. It's pretty sad. They followed him, and then all of a sudden they just quit and walked with him no more. They went back. How many of us have quit walking with Jesus? Do you realize that every time that you sin, that you have turned your back and broke fellowship? That's what happens when we sin. We turn our back on Jesus. He don't leave us. You know, the Bible tells us he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But whenever we sin, we break in fellowship with him and we're turning in a different direction. And that's how we get into trouble. Sin is destructive. So we got to follow Jesus. He's our example. He laid it out here for us. How do we follow Jesus? Well, first of all, we stay connected to him. We stay connected. John 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. It is the branches that bear fruit, but no one can bear fruit unless he is connected to the vine. We got to stay connected. The fruit he's talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness. We got to stay connected. You know, I wake up every morning, or at least I try to. I wake up every morning and the first thing I say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. It's just a simple decision. Get it on your mind the first thing in the morning. First rattle out of the box, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm following you today, Jesus. We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay in the Word. Whenever we read the Bible, we're in fellowship with God. Because John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us here on earth. That'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So when we read the Bible, we are actually fellowshipping with God. I like something I heard my pastor say one time. He said, if you want to verbally hear from God, read out loud to yourself. And you know, I've got revelation of this myself. That's the reason whenever I read Bible, I read out loud to myself. Because see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. That means hearing with your ears. Yes. So whenever I read Bible, I'm to myself, I'm hearing it, right? Faith comes by hearing. Faith don't come by what you've heard. It comes by hearing. So what do we need to do? We need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith has to be replenished. It can be used up. We have to keep replenishing our faith. We've got to keep that faith rising instead of going down. We've got to stay assembling together. Church service, Hebrews 10:25. You know, in the book of Ephesians 4 tells us that we come to church service to be equipped for the works of ministry. Once I got revelation of that, that changed my whole perspective on attending church. We got to be a doer of the word also. James 1:22. This Bible here it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. We got to do what the word tells us to do. I know it's a little bit hard at times. It even gets on me, and it's tough for me as well. But we got to learn to be a doer of the word. Tithing. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 23:23, tithing. You know, where your treasure is where your heart is, or where your heart is where your treasure will be. That sounds better. Where your heart is where your treasure will be. Get your money right with God. The tithe is the Lord's. It never becomes the Lord's. It is the Lord's. Actually, God instituting tithing in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He told Adam and Eve, he said, you can have everything in this garden except for that one tree. That's mine. Don't touch it. Same thing with the tithe. It don't become the Lord's. It is the Lord's. The first tenth of your increase. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many believers do not go beyond the cross. They come to Jesus for salvation at the cross, but they do not go beyond the cross to receive the power of God upon their life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. Jesus commands us, his disciples, the early church, to do this in Acts 1:4. It's a commandment. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father. We've got to ask ourselves, are we really followers of Jesus? These are just some great ways to stay connected, be a follower. He walked this earth. He gave his life for us. We can't just walk up and just say, hey, Jesus, thank you for your salvation. Now, that's what I done. You know, just the other day, I've been kind of blaming all the problems that I went through on some watered-down teaching and things that I believed. I believed that, you know, what I was told, that once I was saved, I was always saved, and I had to be water baptized to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. So I did that, and I quit at a very young age. Plus, I was deceived away from the Word by Satan. I was reading the Gospel of Luke after my water baptism between 11 and 12 years old, and was reading it at the kitchen table in my children's Bible they gave me, and I thought it was God talking to me and told me once I read the Bible, I'd die. So I closed it and pushed it away from me and told the Lord I'd read it later on in life. I wasn't ready to die now. But I realized that was the first step of Satan taking me in the wrong direction because I wasn't discipled. And if you don't know the Word, I'm going to tell you, you don't know God. God and His Word are one. But back to what I was saying earlier, you know, God revealed to me the other day that it was my own desires that really, really led me astray. Not so much as what I've been taught, but my own desires. See, I didn't want to be a follower of Jesus. I just wanted Him for His salvation because I didn't want to go to hell. But I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And my way didn't work. So we got to stay connected. We got to be a follower of Jesus. Otherwise, we're just asking for trouble. We're just asking for trouble. Satan loves a believer that has no word in him. He can cut him off and beat him up and hammer him. If he can ever get those thoughts in your mind coming out your mouth, you got problems. I like to encourage every born-again believer, the very, very first thing that you need to do is be discipled. And you need to find out who you are in Jesus Christ. You need to find out what rights that you have that He bought you with His precious blood. You need to find out who you are in Jesus Christ. Find out who Find it in the Word. And know that the Word of God is the truth. It's not just true, but it's truth. And sometimes you might be in a storm. You're going to have to stand on the Word of God, because you got to tell the devil, no, God's Word is the truth, and I'm standing on the truth. Satan, I'll say it again, Satan loves a believer that has no Word in him. Because all he wants to do is corrupt and corrode you so that you'll go corrupt and corrode somebody else. That's how he does it. But I'm here to tell you that God does it the same way, in a more powerful, mighty way than that. He takes a guy like me and completely turns him around, that ain't afraid to stand up and tell you the truth. When you get something, friends, you turn around, you pass it on to the next person, they pass it on to someone else. God builds his mighty kingdom the same way Satan tries to tear it down. You got to ask yourself, who's running my show? Is God running it, or is the devil? We got to stay connected. You got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to close here with a couple verses. I'm going to look at John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is powerful. Let's read it again. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, true life, the meaning of true life, is not being separated from God. The true meaning of death means total separation from God. Stay in the light. Follow Jesus. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Oh, there's some powerful stuff here. First Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Man, that's powerful. Now, if you are a born-again believer, if you've had that true salvation experience, and you've accepted Jesus Christ, he has called you out of the world to be with him. You are called to follow Jesus. You know, we get caught up in ourselves. We think that it's all about us, or it's all about me, or it's all about you. You worry about what you're going through or what you got to have. You know, it ain't, the big picture ain't about that. It ain't. We are all creations of the Almighty God. We were created for him, through him, by him. Yes. Colossians 1:16. We're here for God's glory. We're not here for us. It's about God working in us, through us, and around us, for his glory, for his kingdom. That's what it's about. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. That means that if we see a brother that we know that's lost, that ain't saved, it's up to us to go to him and and tell him about the truth of salvation and about our Savior Jesus Christ. Or if we see a brother or a sister that's maybe been a prodigal, that's backslid, fell away, it's up to us. We need to go to that person, help bring them back. Like what Jesus tells us over here in Matthew 4. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what it's about, friends, the true picture. It's not about you and your wants and needs. It's really, I know God's concerned, but I think he's more concerned about you being connected to the kingdom and doing the works of the kingdom. We're not all called to preach and teach, but we are all called to be with Jesus, called out of the world, and we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. I hope you got something out of God's word today. I've enjoyed bringing it to you. Just remember, wake up. Say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. God bless you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.